río.
Welcome back to Spirio. We are here on WMBR Cambridge. And it's time to say goodbye, which is really sad. But before we go away, I'd like to talk about one petition case that Amnesty International is trying to push for. The background information is Daw Aung San Suu Kyi, a recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize, has been detained for 13 of the last 19 years, mostly under house arrest. On May 14, 2009, Aung San Suu Kyi and two of her assistants were taken from her home to Insein Prison following an incident in which an American man allegedly swam across a lake to her house and stayed there for 2 days. Reliable reports beginning in early May confirmed that while still confined in her Yangon home, Aung San Suu Kyi had been suffering from dehydration, low blood pressure, and weight loss. Her medical condition makes her transfer to Insein Prison at this time doubly serious. So please call on Burma's leaders to free Aung San Suu Kyi and all other prisoners of conscience. You can send letters to Senior General Tan Shui. And more information on that, you could find it on Amnesty International's website, which is www.amnesty.org. So please check this out. And we'll be returning to Spirio next week, right? With Froy?
That is correct.
All right.
With some very special guests.
Okay. So, but before we go away, I have to remind everyone that the views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of WMBR, the Technology Broadcasting Corporation, or MIT. And you can get in touch with us through our website, which is web.mit.edu/hemisphere. You can check out our archives and listen to all our previous shows.
Y ya, ya estuvo.
Hasta luego. Rock. Yeah!
فمرحبا. مرحبا. فمرحبا. مرحبا في Music for Human. I am a Dr. Jalis Sakran, and how greatly and sincerely I welcome you. I hope we are all filled with heady energies this evening. I am indeed filled with much energy, a truly intoxicating mixture of the psychic energy and flows and oddly sunlight. I'm fortunate to be joined today by three of my colleagues searching for the path, a path which some have called straight, and those with wisdom know that it is perhaps straighter than a corkscrew, but certainly no straighter than a rainbow. First, we have with us the priestess Isis. Priestess, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us again today.
I'm very pleased to be here again.
We also have with us the Jewish professor of mysticism, Professor Levine. Professor, welcome.
It is a deep pleasure to be here again.
Our pleasure in having you is also extremely deep.
It's a deep and shared pleasure.
Let us share this pleasure also with our compatriot from Siberia, Ivan the Mellow. Is Ivan with us? We appear to be experiencing technical confusion yet again with Brother Ivan.
Yes, often our psychic energies cause interference with electrical equipment.
Yes, yes. Excuse me while I commune with the engineer.
I've often discussed with my colleagues the possibility of switching from an electromagnetic radio broadcast to a nuclear-powered radio broadcast.
Yes, we have discussed this before, and I think it's a very good idea.
And I believe that with a nuclear-powered broadcast, we could avoid these problems of interference.
I agree as well. Less disruptions, and our poor friend would always be able to talk with us.
It's very interesting. Whenever there's a particular group of people, men, women, children, there's a unique blend of spiritual energies that can cause spikes in the electromagnetic patterns. Sometimes these spikes can be very positive in terms of vibrations. They can lead to harmonics, harmonies, and spiritual sounds, spiritual music. And sometimes these blends can lead to discordant sounds, which have their own power and their own place, but sometimes can interfere with the natural flow. And it's my hope for us all to be able to find this right blend of our friends and our colleagues.
Perhaps we should meditate a while.
Yes, I find that meditation, group meditation, often is a great facilitator for bringing out positive group energies and avoiding discordant fluctuations in the wavelengths.
These fluctuations, they do fluctuate.
Sometimes rapidly and wildly. And wild fluctuations in our group energies and our group dynamics can themselves be a positive experience if we learn to ride the wild wave that results.
The resulting wave has informed me that almost certainly Ivan should be communing with us now. Ivan, are you with us?
Товарищ, добрый вечер.
It is with such ecstasy that we hear your voice.
Yes, I can feel the positive harmonics that result from this communion of the four of us.
I second that ecstasy. Unfortunately, the Soviet era mechanics and vibrational equipment that I've brought with me from Siberia is not very reliable.
Well, like the MiG, we soar in the Ukrainian skies together.
Dr. Jalas, what do you think of this idea of mine of forming a nuclear-powered broadcast, a nuclear radio station?
Well, now, as a person who lived part of his life in what I think generally people call the era, the Cold War, although Brother Ivan and I know that it was really a hot war. It really was warm. I mean, very, very large bombs, you know, at the time. We both, when we hear the word nuclear, we do not only think of the nuclear family, we think of the nucleus and of the terrible powers that lie within such a tight group.
Well, of course, the core idea of nuclear physics, according to my understanding, is that by splitting an atom, one is able to harness and unleash great forces and great energy. And I believe that this discovery can also apply to the spiritual realm as well. That by taking something from our mind and our psyche, and allowing it to split into multiple pieces or to fragment, we can unleash powerful forces.
Dropping the spiritual bomb.
Exactly.
So perhaps one could create a missile that would remove hatred from the heart.
That would be an incredible achievement.
That person would receive the Nobel Peace Award.
Well, of course, I've been working on this problem for a long time. It was in part funded by Tavarish Reagan, and it was known as the Strategic Defense Initiative. Unfortunately, we were well under budget, and nothing has come out of it.
Well, there were reports that there was a secret defense project in our own country, in the United States, to develop a bomb that would lead to unending lust and love of men for other men, which would potentially serve as a disruption for enemy forces. If the men all embraced love of each other, then they would no longer have any desire to fight the enemy.
They would rather embrace their enemy as their friend, and in so doing, in the design of the creators of this project, be mowed down like sheep.
Now, of course, this project was being intended for nefarious purposes, but in theory, one could develop a new understanding of physics, a new science, a new nuclear physics, which helps us love and vibrate together. And I believe this should be the ultimate goal of science.
To facilitate a mutual vibration.
Exactly. Now, I know there are some new efforts in science to understand our psychic abilities, our abilities to influence events through the power of our thought. And I'm very heartened by this development, because I believe it's only through the study of our New Age abilities and wisdom that we as a human species can achieve true enlightenment.
Of course, I don't think that we have to discriminate against other living species.
That's true. As all, as human, as living species together, as all living organisms together, we can achieve enlightenment together. There's no real difference between human enlightenment and bear enlightenment and bee enlightenment. It's really all the same purpose. And there are those thinkers who believe that some animal species have already achieved very high levels of enlightenment, such as the mythical unicorn.
Yes, the unicorn, which was the subject of a class that I taught recently.
Perhaps you can enlighten the rest of us on the topic of unicorns.
Well, in spite of the class being an entire semester, really not much is known about the unicorn. The unicorn is a spiritual being, a being that calls to us from the wild. The unicorn is a definition largely without proof. The unicorn, whose horn is valued.
Of course.
And the unicorn with whom we would all love to frolic.
And we always speak of the unicorn, but we have to forget about the bicorn. And the bicorn is also out there in the pastures.
The bicorn, and indeed the polycorn, which was the subject of the next class in the sequence, multicorn, and ways to process with multicorn.
And of course, the nilcorn, otherwise known as the horse.
The no-corn. But which has widely surpassed its cousins of multiple corns by manifold. So that few believe in the unicorn. I had a student in one of my classes on the unicorn. He says to me, "Dr. As-Sakran, how is it that you may believe in the unicorn without any evidence for it existing?" And I said to the student, "The unicorn is a horse with a horn in the middle of its forehead. Therefore it exists. By definition, this is the unicorn." And the student countered with a very abstract example. He said, "Professor As-Sakran, I may define the Dirac delta function in the following way, but this in no way proves that the function exists any more than the unicorn does.
That's a very powerful chain of logic.
But clearly one that has its weaknesses.
Well, I believe the existence of the horse is indeed powerful evidence for the existence of the unicorn, for the horse is itself nothing but a unicorn but without a horn.
That's very apt. I mean, one could imagine a strange skin disorder which lies latent within all of us that would cause the scaly flesh to begin to emerge until we had among our midst a person with a horn or multiple horns. Would we say that the person no longer exists because he has a horn coming out the side of his head? Or would we say, this is a person like me, but who has been gifted with horns, and he exists? Perhaps he's not my brother, but he's certainly a cousin, and I will defend him against the coyote.
The coyote, of course, being a species which has descended into a deep level of spiritual rancor and decay.
Precisely. Precisely.
Speaking of a unicorn, and there have been studies, actually, and clinical trials performed by Dr. Luria in the 50s in Siberia for crossing hippopotamus with horses, and I think they have been successful, but there are all sorts of beautiful and strange beings on this planet. So if you believe in rainbows, I don't see how you cannot believe in unicorns.
And the rainbows are circular.
I actually do not believe in rainbows.
Well, that's your prerogative, Professor Levine.
I mean, I have witnessed rainbows caused by sprinkler systems and whatnot, but I believe that's due to a chemical element that's being injected into our water sources.
Moonlight.
Perhaps, or some other concoction.
I have been told by the camel master in my youth. He told me that, he said, young Jalis, come and look at what the moonlight will do when it is mixed with the water. And of course it made a lunar rainbow.
I've never seen a lunar rainbow.
Well,
it's same?
It's no less roundy.
Oh.
And sort of bendy. And earlier we spoke about straightness and the straightness of a path. And, you know, it's really a matter of perspective whether you consider a circle to be any less straight than a line. If you are a sphere, a circle, I think, would strike you as very straight.
Well, that's interesting, because in traditional Jewish mystical thought, the moon is associated with the feminine aspect of God and the feminine aspect of humanity, whereas the sun is typically associated with the male. So a lunar rainbow could be viewed as a particularly feminine rainbow, or a rainbow expressing feminine power.
And yet often the symbols in ancient belief systems for the feminine aspect were the circular, whereas the the male representations tended to be straight. So you have the wand versus the cup, and the, you know, the Venus and the Mars, and the arrow versus the little plus symbol.
Right.
Ultimately, it depends on your metric system. Are you talking about geodesic distances or Euclidean distances? So maybe the right analogy is here that women and men are simply members of different metric spaces.
So it's really, again, just a matter of perspective. If you measure distances one way and a whale measures it another way, you may see the world as having a corner, and the whale may see it as having a little water feature. And it's difficult to say who's right. Maybe there is no objective way of looking at it that would say that. I mean, maybe the appropriate way is that it's all right, and there is both a corner and a water feature.
Maybe we should give out our number so that callers may join the vibrating circle
and form corners or not, depending on your
centers.
It's another view.
So our number is 617-253-8810.
We have two open lines.
Now, going back to this question of metrics, there's been a great debate within the New Age community, as well as the scientific community, about the value of the traditional American system of measurement, feet, inches, and so on, and the so-called metric system, meters, centimeters, centipedes,
millipedes, and
millimeters,
and
as well.
Decimation.
Now, I personally believe that certain objects are correctly measured only in one system, and certain types of objects can only be correctly measured in the other system. In other words, one can say that a man is a certain number of feet. He is, let's say, 5 feet, 10 inches. But he cannot be measured in the so-called metric system. Whereas a woman, perhaps, could more appropriately be measured in terms of meters than in feet.
Yeah, and I really could see how that might happen. You might imagine that I would like to measure a woman in yards and myself in meters, and I'm looking for a woman who is my height but in yards. And really some drastic problems could occur if the wrong units were used. So I might wind up with a woman who is, you know, 3/4 of an inch instead of 3/4 of a meter or a yard.
Could be disastrous.
Could be terrible. But it's so easy to make that sort of mistake, and really could lead you astray. So I actually have a puzzle for you all and for our listeners. Imagine that you are a semicircle from the origin to, you know, x equals 2. Does that make sense? Everyone understand? So the radius of the semicircle is 1. And its center is at 1, 0. Can you imagine where that would be?
I can imagine myself in the center of a spiritual circle.
No, you are a semicircle. So you have to change your perspective. It's difficult, but I know you can.
Okay, so my back is the straight line and my front is circular.
Precisely.
Like a pregnant woman.
Very similar in shape, actually. Or like half a coconut. But really two-dimensional.
Okay.
Okay, so now we imagine So what is the circumference of the semicircle?
One.
It depends on your units.
Right.
But let us believe that it is pi.
Okay.
So now, suppose that you are two semicircles. One located at, let's see, centered at 1/2, and the other one centered at 3/2. So the same back, but now two semicircles, like a pair of coconuts. Half coconuts. Right? So the same back, but two. So now the circumference, the total circumference, your total circumference, is pi over 2 for the first semicircle and pi over 2 for the second semicircle. So the total is still pi. Now we could continue this division indefinitely, and the result is always pi, no matter how many divisions we make. So in the limit, this curve, you know, the back and the front converge because it's getting flatter and flatter until finally both sides are simply the line segment from 0 to 2, the length of which would be 2.
It's like the mystical flame which imparts its fire to any other source but never is diminished itself.
But this is diminished because pi is bigger than 2.
Well, Dr. Jalas, the only math that I know is spiritual math. And in spiritual math, the most important theorem is that 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 1.
And there, of course, you have reached the true conclusion, which is that the circle is love and love is not conserved. So the more you make, the more there is,
as John Lennon said.
Did he say that?
Something along those lines, I believe.
If he said it, I'm sure he took it from me.
He indeed may have. The more you give, the more you get.
Ah, that doesn't sound right.
The more love you make, the more love you leave behind.
That really doesn't sound like me. Maybe he did make it up.
He made up a lot of things.
He was a maker up of things.
I've noticed many times that when we have unusually beautiful days, our listeners decide to merely observe our broadcast by listening rather than participating.
Perhaps you should say the number again.
So the number is 217-253-8810. Caller, you are on the air.
Do you guys even believe in the word love? Do you guys even believe in love, rather?
I believe that when you call Robert, all of the listenership wants to call. We actually have another caller instantly. So let me put you along with them on the line. Caller 2, welcome.
Hello?
Hello, welcome.
Hello? Hello?
Hello, welcome. Hello, caller? Caller. Hello. Marhaban. I think maybe due to a technical confusion, we have lost the caller. Robert, are you still there with us?
Yeah. You haven't answered my question?
Robert, I believe in hormones.
Yeah?
Well, hormones themselves are really just a motivation for us to procreate. Procreation itself is like that mystical flame where we give forth our life. but every time we have a child, we maintain the same energy that we had before. In fact, it's increased. So these hormones that you speak of, I believe, are just a manifestation of love.
And what do they believe in Siberia?
It's a good question, Dr. Angelis.
I believe that in Siberia they believe in chess. Robert, do you play chess?
No. And I don't know what Siberia is.
Siberia is a region near the Arctic Circle.
Well, it has its physical existence, of course, but Siberia is also a place inside each of us.
Lots of people don't like tech. Are tech?
Yeah.
What do you say, R and R?
R and R being...
R-R-R-O?
Like a restroom, or like restination and relaxation?
Robert, if you have not been to Siberia, I don't think you have experienced true love.
I've been everywhere, man.
Well, Robert, do you believe in love?
We're talking?
No, do you believe in love?
Hello?
Yes, Robert.
We're talking right now. That's the answer to the question. We're talking right now. That's my answer to your question. Do I believe in love? We're talking right now. We're using words, which are inevitably just breathing patterns. Certain questions evoke different breathing patterns.
It's very deep.
Are you a Haber snapper?
A Haber snapper?
Yes.
Well, of course, in yoga, we learn to manipulate these breathing patterns in a way that resembles language sometimes, but also allows us to control our heart, the beatings of our heart, which in many traditions represents the power of and the energy of love and vibration.
And also enables us through much training to control the movements of our arms.
And even our fingers, if we...
Individually. Now, I know the casual listener will scoff and say, why, I am perfectly capable of manual manipulations. But if you really think about all the things that you do with your hands that you really wished you did not do, like writing bogus checks to unusual organizations. Let's bring another voice in with us. What do you say, Robert?
I was going to say that every organization... I work for McDonald's, right?
Yeah?
Yeah?
But it has its place there, doesn't it? Let's bring that third voice in with us, shall we?
My other friend that's schizophrenic works for McDonald's, too.
Yes, hello?
Yes, welcome, caller.
Yes, thank you so much. This is Michael.
Welcome.
And thank you.
Yes, welcome, Michael. Welcome to the air.
Mr. Kron, and a pleasure to make your acquaintance and that of Professor Levin and our other guests there.
Yes.
Go ahead.
No, thank you, Michael. Thank you. Yes, please.
I was intrigued by the concept of the geographic metaphor for emotion, the Siberia of the mind, the Siberia of the heart. I was reminded of David Lynch, who directed the movie, among others, Eraserhead, calling it his Philadelphia of the mind. And it made me think about my experience in Philadelphia and my experience in Boston and the Boston of the mind. And though I've never been to Siberia, I believe I have experienced the Siberia of the heart.
Well, caller, I believe there is another famous film by David Lynch called Wild at Heart, and I think it will bring you closer to the spirit of free love that flourishes in Siberia.
Well, Michael,
yes, I have
free love is made of children.
I actually am also a native of the wonderful city of Philadelphia, and it too reminds me of Eraserhead, especially the aberrant product of illicit love.
Illicit love? I must have missed that when I was in Philadelphia, unfortunately.
Well, it always struck me as a strange thing that we would take metaphors for places in your body. Like, I have friends that are fond of saying, for example, that New Jersey is the armpit of the country, or, you know, things like that. But it is rare to hear, as we have tonight, about cities really registering to a particular point in your mind. But I'm sure that they do. I'm sure that when I return to Kansas, that I am, you know, all these places that I remember there are really just locations in my brain, and not just locations there. And if they were ever to disappear, I'm sure that my brain, for as long as it would continue to exist, would continue to exist.
Now, Dr. Jalas, you mentioned the hand, the human hand and the fingers. This reminded me of this recent discovery, and these scientists in Germany found a 47 million year old primate fossil resembling a monkey or a lemur, and it's believed that this fossil may have been the ancestor of the human race. And the most amazing part of this discovery was that clenched in the hand of this primate was a remote control
made out of hair or something, certainly.
But possibly manipulating a prehistoric television.
So, along with this idea, of course, of Siberia, a mental Siberia, I noticed that the caller, Michael, mentioned that this image of course, and perhaps it was unconscious, but Siberia being, of course, a cold place, but it is not with cold words that Ivan recalls it.
Are you familiar with the song by the band Yes, Siberian Caught True?
I am not.
Perhaps you could sing it for us, Michael?
Well, I won't try to sing it, but I will say the lyric. Even Siberia goes through the motions.
Even Siberia, as though Siberia were some backwards land that would not go through the motions.
I take issue to that characterization, Dr. Sekar.
Yeah.
I just want to say that I don't think that anybody really likes art or music. Except for creators, because everyone is egotistical. I just want to say how much I love Jammin' 94.5 and Dance Club. Hello?
Yes.
Well, we
yes.
love Dance Club in Siberia also. That's
shake those hips, guys.
That's a way that we keep warm in the dark, lonely nights.
And chess, presumably.
Well, chess and vodka.
Hi, heartworm.
Have you ever played chess while being really drunk on a good bottle of Stolichna?
I don't play chess.
Yeah, I'm not sure any member.
I play checkers, not chess.
Of the Sekran family has been truly drunk.
I get drunk. Getting drunk, rock. Do
What's
it up, rock star.
What's with
energy
that?
Energy drink. I like food. Who likes eating?
Well, Robert.
Do you love eating?
Well, Robert, I would say that I eat to live.
Do you love living? Do you love life? Do you love it?
We, our stimulant of choice on Music for Humans is, of course, the compound known as monosodium glutamate.
Oh, that is a lot of syllables.
Well, MSG is a stimulant.
Tastes good, right?
I think it tricks our brain into thinking the food tastes good.
What's the difference?
I took some McDonald's french fries the other day, and they taste really, really good, actually. And I didn't even have enough to, like, intoxicate myself with them.
Well, I mean, you know, I'd like to bring that point clearer, though, now. What's the difference between something pretending to taste good and something simply tasting good? It's like someone, you might say that someone is acting cheerful, and then there's some distinction between them pretending to act cheerful and them acting cheerful. You know, if it's really pretending enough for me to be confused, then believe me, that's acting.
Well, there are those who are called solipsists, and they believe that all humans that they observe are actually cardboard cutouts.
They are batteries.
Batteries or cardboard cutouts, but not living beings who have emotions.
Who need to listen to music.
Did that other guy just say he pretends he has boobs all the time? Is that what he said?
I'm not sure. Michael, were you saying something there?
Sorry, thank you.
So
yes, it occurs to me, if a burger were to fall in the forest and no one were around to hear it, would it still taste good?
I don't know what he just said.
Yeah, I'm not sure that these sort of Zen cones really come across well in the, you know, the realm of fast food. I mean, certainly it teaches you something about the taste of trees, but not so much about burgers. I have not had a very good burger in a long time.
Well, and I have another vignette which may be more relevant. I went for a nature walk in the local community reservation, and the leader of the nature walk was standing by a tree with white flowers, and he was holding a handful of white petals, and he said that these petals are edible. And he invited us to come up and eat some of the petals. So I went up and took some petals from the tree and ate them. And they tasted okay. Then I looked around and realized that he took these petals from a different bush, not from the tree that I was eating from.
So he...
What's that noise? What was that noise? That didn't make any sense. Did it taste like hamburgers? Because I like the taste of hamburgers.
Well, this issue
of... Can you do that? Can you eat a hamburger without eating it?
This confusion of the senses can occur. I actually had an experience today. I was looking outside the window of my hut, and I observed a bird's nest, a mother bird feeding her chick. And I was watching, and I saw the chick struggling in the nest, and I thought, this chick might be trying to fly. It might be trying to escape the nest and spread its wings. And then I thought I saw this occur, but then I realized that this vision of the bird flying was actually the sound of my toaster popping up some bread.
Ah.
And it was a strange sort of cross-perceptual hallucination, where the sound of the toaster appeared to me as the vision of a bird flying.
Now, if then the toast appeared in the nest, you would have known you were in a David Lynch movie.
Yeah, and all of this is very similar to this, again, this experience back in the unicorn class, where we did a section on psychic unicorns. And the purpose of the I had an exam where the students, I brought in a psychic unicorn, and the students were, the task was simply to read the unicorn's mind. And one of the students I found later had actually read the minds of all of the other students without bothering to read the mind of the unicorn, which technically is cheating, but I let it go on the basis that he still was pretty psychic there. Very nice. I'm not sure.
White cats, white cats, white cats, white cats, white cats.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what that was about.
Sometimes voices intrude in our meditative state, and they can be a little disruptive.
I must say, I feel a lightness of being with Rob gone.
Yeah, we like Robert, but sometimes he really pushes those boundaries.
Well, I believe Robert is a true genius. His thoughts can sometimes flow in ways which I had never realized were possible. But at the same time, with true genius sometimes comes a crossing of boundaries. And of course, on the radio, there are boundaries which we may not cross.
I think he was referring to the white petals in my vignette. Or perhaps to the white corn of the bicorn.
The bicorn, of course, which you are familiar with, being like a chocolate horn and the vanilla horn.
Exactly. Well, that's reminiscent of Melanie Klein, who referred to a good corn and a bad corn.
I'm not sure that one should assign values to the flavors. I mean, there are two horns.
Yeah.
I mean, we simply call, you know, it's like the one horn, which happens to be green, by the way, is chocolate flavored.
It could be a Spumoni horn.
Okay.
That would have three flavors.
I think, speaking of these flavors, such as vanilla and chocolate, I am reminded of this recurring thought I've had about ice cream. It seems that ice cream is such a wonderful mix of flavors. It's really an amazing concoction of sugar and iciness. And I'm amazed at the ability of this food item to attract so many humans' interest. It really puzzles me sometimes.
Yeah, why do people like ice cream?
Because it reminds them of Siberia.
That's very possible.
Well, callers and hosts, unfortunately, our time on Music for Humans this week is at a close.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed our discussion greatly, and I wish you all a good long weekend.
Thank you very much, Michael. Thanks also to Brother Ivan, who fought through those early technical problems and connected with us after all.
Огромное спасибо.
До свидания.
До свидания.
And also thanks to Professor Levine.
As I said, it was my deep, 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 deep pleasure to be with you and among you.
May your horns never wither. And thanks also to the priestess Isis, who has joined us once again.
Thank you.
I am Addictor Jalis Sakran with Music for Human Beings with you Fridays at 7 p.m. Ma'a salama. Oh, stay tuned for Hidden Gems in Plain Sight here on WMBR 88.1 FM in Cambridge. Ma'a salama.
safety.
Number one.
Cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two.
Look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three.
Cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number four.
Cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians in unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.